There are a number of new folk who have not met her before, and she's popped down to visit her family for a couple of weeks from Alice Springs. So we're delighted that she's here this Sunday, and it happens to be Mission Sunday. How wonderful is that? The Lord organised that. Now, how long have you been part of the LBC family, Melissa?
Since 1994.
Since 1994. That's 30 years she's been coming here to LBC. So she's really one of us. Now, you've got your own health issues. You've taken a mask off. Tell us why.
I have severe asthma, and the treatment for that makes me immunocompromised.
Right. So she's protecting herself. Can you lift that mic a bit higher?
Sorry.
That's right. Yep. She has severe asthma, so she has treatment for that, and that compromises her immune system. So she's protecting herself. She's not sick. She's just making sure your germs don't get to her, okay? So we're glad she's able to do that. You also have some hearing issues.
Yes, I've also got a severe hearing impairment.
She has a severe hearing impairment, so she can sign beautifully and translate for church services and everything. I've seen her do it. But here she is. And despite all that, you're working in Alice Springs. That must be a very healthy place up there, is it?
I'm not sure that it is, but it's an adventure.
How many years ago did you set off for Alice Springs?
Almost 18.
Okay. And what did you go up there to do initially?
So I initially went to Alice Springs to get some experience as an emergency nurse with an intention of going to work in Ghana in West Africa. And I ended up in a place called Warburton, which is not the Warburton near here. It's actually 1,200 kilometres southwest of Alice Springs in the middle of the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was there, I was very challenged to stay. One of the big problems in Central Australia is people come for a short time. And God very much challenged me to that we need well-educated and experienced health professionals to stay in Alice Springs. And so I am still there.
So you stayed, and you've stayed 18 years. Now, we don't have time to go through the various stages that you have gone through in your work and the studies that you continue to do, but at the moment you work at the Centre for Disease Control based in Alice Springs. Now, what does that mean you do?
So the Centre for Disease Control is the public health unit, so we follow up all notifiable diseases. I very specifically work in the area of rheumatic heart disease, and I am both a clinical nurse specialist and a data analyst in that area.
Right, so very important work. And last week she was saying, don't believe everything you hear on the ABC about rheumatic heart disease in the territory and the lack of care, because there are some very caring, very specialised people there. Unfortunately, though, people are not treated at the beginning, and so they do contract that disease. It doesn't mean you hang around Alice Springs all the time.
Not at all. So my job actually covers 1.2 million square kilometres, which is over twice the size of Victoria.
Right. So you do a few Ks?
Just a few.
And you camp out in the desert?
I try not to. Usually there's a clinic room that you can stay
in.
Sometimes you have to sleep in a swag on the floor.
Right. And you have opportunity to share about Jesus?
Absolutely. So 97% of my patients are Indigenous, and it's great. They love it when you can share with them about Jesus and pray for them. So, and sometimes even linking them in with local churches. I didn't tell you this, but earlier in the year, one of the ladies that I've known for many years asked for the local Baptist pastor to come and see her because she wanted to get baptised. And a few weeks ago in church, she was actually baptised in Alice Springs Baptist Church, which was really lovely to see.
That is so good. So we don't have to support Melissa financially, all right? She's get paid by our governments, by the Northern Territory government anyway. And we're glad about that, but she surely needs our prayer support, and that's why she's on our list. why every month she sends us information so that we can pray for her. And we're glad and privileged to be able to do that. So let me just pray for her quickly and thank you for coming. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for this very special lady, for the way that you have placed your hand upon her and helped her through these years of study and learning, of integration into a community up in the Northern Territory. We thank you for the privilege she has of working there too, but we thank you for the responsibilities that she has. And so we just commit her to your care. We ask that you would uphold her with her health issues, that you would uphold her in all the travel that she needs to do, the decision-making she has to do, the leading and the guiding. And we thank you, Lord, that she can speak your name, that she can witness to the Lord Jesus, to these dear folk. We just pray that you'd bless her in the last couple of days she shares here with family and take her safely back to her home there and the work you've called her to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much. They are good verses, aren't they? They were actually sent to me just a couple of weeks ago by a farmer who works through Steer. And he sends me a Bible verse every morning. And this was one of those verses that he sent a couple of weeks ago. And I just found such joy in it. I thought at some stage I'm going to preach from them. And so today's the day. But look, thank you so much for the privilege of being invited here today. And it's just lovely to be with you. And the other thing, Melinda and I, some of you may have read, but Melinda and I have worked, ever since we got married, we've been in mission or ministry, started off with CYC and then with Mobile Mission Maintenance and then pastoring at Montmorency Community Church, and now we're with Steer. And it's so freeing, I can tell you, to be coming here and talking to you about Steer, because we support all of the mission agencies. And I'm not trying to tell you anything about one of them. Because with CYC, I'd go to a church and try to get everybody to support CYC. And then I'd go and speak at churches about MMM and try to get people to be involved with MMM. But Steer's great because we support all of them. I just come to here to encourage you in the work that you're doing for God and His kingdom through the missions that you are supporting. And as I read through the list, we support just about all of them. And Melissa, thank you so much for your answering God's call to stay where you were in Central Australia. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing for you to do that. One of the privileges Melinda and I had with working with MMM was to work in the Northern Territory. And we travelled through Alice Springs, but we just travelled through. But one of the things that we found in working in Darwin, and it's the same in all of the outback areas, is that it was quite hard for us to make friends because everyone is so transient, that the people who live there don't want to give their heart to you and create a long-term relationship because they know or believe that at some stage you'll leave. And so that is just a wonderful ministry that you're doing, and I want to thank you for that. And there's a number of the people that you are supporting are just doing the most amazing, amazing work. And places like Pioneers, and I have a strong friendship with Simon Longdon, the CEO at Pioneers, and you're working with them. And I was just trying to think of the lady's name, Dawn Taylor. And he was just, when I asked him about Dawn's work the other day, I was chatting to him when I talked to him about Dawn's work, he got so enthusiastic. It was just incredible with Simon. He got so enthusiastic about the work that she is doing. And so I just want to encourage you with that here's people. Pioneers mobilises teams to glorify God among unreached peoples. And that is exactly what she is doing by initiating church planting movements and partnerships with local churches. It's just fantastic. God is doing amazing things around the world. And STEER is a part of it. And I want to tell you what, how. Back in really the late 50s, 59 was when it started to germinate in the heart of a man by the name of Bill Clack, who was working at MBI back in those days. And he was looking at the fact that all of these various things could have tax deductibility, and so extra money could go into different things, but nothing to do with the gospel. The gospel has never been tax deductible in Australia. And there are various aspects of humanitarian work within the gospel system that are tax deductible, but not the gospel itself. And so Bill was in America for something else, and he heard about an organisation over there called STEER Incorporated, and where men or farmers simply donated steers, S-T-E-E-R, yes, the animal that we love to eat, and they grew them up, sold them, and the money from that then went to mission. And he thought, oh, maybe that's something that we could do in Australia. But our tax system is so different, I'm not sure how it'll work. And so he came back and he started to talk with accountants and tax lawyers and so forth. And one of these particular tax lawyers was from Canberra, and he had the ear of the Deputy Commissioner of Taxation at the time. And this is back when the tax department was actually helpful. And and the Deputy Commissioner of Taxation actually assisted in setting up the five programs that we still use today. And it's a wonderful thing, that they actually assisted. It is very legal. I've heard people say, oh, you're from STEER, that's the tax dodge. And I can tell you, it's really quite interesting. I was at an event a little while ago and someone actually said that. And just beside me, I'd been chatting to one of our partners. I didn't have to say anything to the gentleman that said that, but the partner got stuck right into him and said, I can tell you this is not a tax dodge. And I want to say that to you, that we work in our office, almost all of our work is to do with governance and compliance. Governance and compliance. It comes out of our ears, I can tell you, to make sure that those five programs are totally and fully legal and complied with, and we cross every T and we dot every I ad nauseum. There's five programs that they started and we still use the same ones. Two for farmers, one's with the, as with the cattle in America, except that we do all livestock, and we've even done pigeons and meat pigeons that were sent to restaurants and so forth. We do cattle, we do sheep, we've done pigs, we've done we are talking to a man at the moment who wants to do bees, and so we're working through that at the moment. So people who are able to do that, the animals are gifted or sold to STEER when they're first born, and when they're grown by the people, the animals are sold and the money comes to STEER. It's not doesn't go through the books of the person that is growing them on their farm. It comes straight to STEER, and so therefore, being a tax-exempt organisation, no tax is paid. But we invite that person to suggest to us where they would like that money to go. The same with grain. Now, lots of grain is grown in Australia, and a Christian farmer might lease to us 100 acres of his farm, and he grows on that farm, that 100 acres, grain for STEER. So when it's sold, it goes through the National Grain Registry of STEER, not of the farmer. And so the money comes straight through to us, and the farmer suggests where that money goes. We have other people who might have an unencumbered rental property. And that rental property is put in our name, not the title, obviously, but we become the landlords. And the rent or the lease that is on that property, the money comes to us. We pay the rates, we pay the water, we pay the insurance and so forth, and the rest of the money goes out at the suggestion of the person who owns the property. People who have a family trust or a discretionary trust. Now, they've got their tax benefit already, but we give them flexibility, and we can give overseas, which you can't give to with a normal trust. They can give overseas, we can give anonymously, and we can hold some back to be able to give. And a lot of people use that. But the biggest program we have is for people who might have some money sitting in a term deposit. And a lot of people do, and sometimes that money's come through from Aunt Martha that passed away, and she just thought you were the favourite, and she's left you some money. And people have money sitting in term deposits for a whole bunch of reasons. People can give to STEAR as an interest-free loan instead of leaving it locked up in a term deposit. Give it to STEAR as an interest-free loan. We then invest that in registered first mortgages. And people say, oh, isn't that a bit risky? We only invest in one way and the same way for the last 62 years, and we've never lost $1 in capital or interest. And so we're very conservative. And we pay 8.1% rather than the 4% that you might get from a term deposit. That 8.1%, at your suggestion, or that person's suggestion, goes out to missions. So how much does all of this add up to, with the people that are involved with us? Well, last year, we sent $4.8 million out to missions. And since we started, we've spent over $95 million. Around the world, and it's growing every year. We've doubled in size in the last 5 years. It is a great practical way to be involved in supporting missions around the world. And if you desire to be a part of that, that money can also be suggested to come back to this church, to the mission and outreach budget. So to support the people that you have on this list, it's a great organisation, and I love working for it. And you know, one of the things I love about it is the fact that each year we support around about 340, 350 different mission organisations, and since we started, it's over 700 mission organisations. And we're getting emails back all the time from people about the work that they're doing around the world. And it is incredible. And whilst we pray for our own suburb, our own town, our own street, God is at work around the globe. The things that are happening in Iran at the moment are staggering. More people have come to faith in Iran in the last 40 years of the Ayatollahs than in hundreds of years before. Afghanistan is staggering. We sent material to Afghanistan. We sent 1,000 megavoice over there last year. And then when they received them, they said, brother, this is fantastic, but we need tens of thousands. God is at work. We heard from the couple in South Asia, and I can tell you the things that are happening there. It's tough. I am speaking very regularly with a young pastor in Islamabad. And the mobs that are, you may have heard last year, where three churches and about 100 homes were burnt, and the Christians in those homes completely displaced, using the false blasphemy laws. And they get away with it all of the time because of the false blasphemy laws. And these are young pastors working in amongst their people over there, doing amazing work. But but they are fearful for their own lives. This guy has just been married and he has a young baby and he wants to protect his wife and his child. But he also wants to preach the gospel, which is what he does. And only three streets away from him last week, another church was burnt and people beaten to death. God is working around the world, but people are losing their lives for their faith. People are giving their lives for their faith. We're not called at the moment to that in Australia. And I do say at the moment, because how do we know how the climate, the religious climate, may change? And we need to be ready at all times. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters around the world at all times. And we may need to be ready to suffer for our faith, because the scriptures tell us, they hate me and they will hate you also. It's really quite interesting, these verses. I just love them. And Melissa said she doesn't usually sleep outside in the desert. She takes a bed in the rooms. Melinda and I had the privilege, as I said before, about going to the Northern Territory in, I think it was 97. And we loaded our kids in the back of the patrol, the camper van on the back, and off we went. Four kids, mum and dad, and no dog. Across the Nullarbor, up the west coast, across the top, Gibb River Road, and to Darwin. And it was fabulous. And we loved it. And to be in that outback area, to look up at the sky and see the beauty of creation. And it is amazing. We live in the most beautiful country in the world. And the desert has its incredible beauty, doesn't it? It's just incredible. And one of the things I used to do was have to go across from Darwin, across to Halls Creek, which is west of Kununurra. And a little Aboriginal community there, and I used to go and do a fair bit of work with them. And so on a Friday afternoon after work, I'd load up the car and head down to Katherine and then start heading across the Victoria Highway towards Kununurra. But I didn't want to drive in the dark because there are lots of animals crossing the road. There's camels, there's horses, there's cattle, there's kangaroos, and it's just not worth it. So I come to this particular spot, and they had a rise. There's not lots of rises. There's this rise on the left-hand side, and I would pull off there and park the car, and I'd throw a swag out, and I would stay there the night. There is nothing quiet about the outback. There are many, many noises. Do you know, they say wisdom comes with age. I was younger then. I wouldn't stay there today. And it was very interesting because the Victoria River was very close to the road at that point. And the Victoria River is known for two things. Big fish and bigger crocodiles. That's right. And you'd hear at nighttime this amazing big splash. Now, what was it? I have no idea. Couldn't see. But it'd be all the time. And I'd lay there and you'd hear the noises. But the amazing thing was that we don't get in our suburbs is when you look at the sky and there's no light around. and the billions of stars that are there. And yes, you see the Milky Way, and it's obviously why it's called the Milky Way. Because the amount of planets that are in there, they seem to join together. But right across, you look in the depths of the sky, and it just goes forever. It just goes forever. And it's incredible. Is that a storm coming? But it really is. And you know, that all was created by our God. And the scriptures tell us that it was created for his glory. Here's this display for us to look and see. And if we need at any time a reminding of the glory of God, of the power of God, of the might of God, is to go out and look at the sky at nighttime. And we see the depth of that creation. Job 38 to 40 are just some of the most beautiful scriptures. And it tells us there that as God was creating these things, a wave of excitement and of rejoicing went through the angels. Could you imagine if you were an angel and you saw God creating all of these things? Wouldn't that just be incredible? Yet we get to see it. And we see it in its glory displayed. And Melissa would know that from that the darkness of the outback to look up. And many of you have probably done exactly the same thing. And it's beautiful. But then, as the angels looked down to see what was happening, there just happened to be this small, insignificant solar system with its sun, various planets, but this one planet that just happened to be the perfect distance from the sun. It had its moon placed in just the right space. It was unusually on this slight tilt of axis. It had, by chance, the perfect gravitational pull of 14 pounds per square inch for those of us who were born before 1966. And God placed his focus, for some reason, on this earth. And he started to wave his hand. No, he didn't. He spoke through his son Jesus in exactly the same way that he had for the whole of the universe. Christ at the center of creation. And he spoke, and into existence come all that we see in this incredible planet that we live on. The seas. And Job tells us that he placed the seas and he gave them their boundaries and he told them no further. The mountains, the trees, all of these incredible plants that were designed for exactly where they are. I worked with an interesting gentleman by the name of Don Blackwell in South Australia. He was a geologist, We work together, our families work together in CYC at Wellington in South Australia. And we went out and we were looking at various things, and South Australia is a desert state. And he took me and specifically showed me a plant. And he told me the Latin name for it. He was an unusual man. And it was a stick. That's all it was. It was a stick, but it required almost zero water. And it grew, and when water came, just some little flowers would come up on it. God designed that. And he designed it at the same time that he designed the most amazing trees that we see around the world. Those massive, tall cedars, the redwoods, the Moreton Bay fig. Aren't they incredible? And he created man, and he placed him, them, in the garden. This incredible garden provided just for them. From a human aspect, have you ever thought, and you may not have, and I accept the fact that I'm a little unusual, but at what stage, and David, I want to know if you have thought of this, at what stage, as God was creating all of this that looks so amazing, so beautiful, so perfect, such an incredible creative design, and the clash and splash of colour, at what stage was God, did God feel a sense of disappointment? What do I mean by that? During all of this, at what stage was he feeling a sense of disappointment? Have you ever thought of that, David? Because God... Don't you hate some speakers? Anyway, my reasoning is this. That God exists outside of time and so therefore knew what was going to happen to his creation. And a little while after he created Adam and Eve and started these walks in the cool of the evening, it was all going to be ruined. It was all going to be ruined. Yes, it's still beautiful, but sin overtook as man turned his back on God. And at that point, when he said, Adam and Eve, where are you? He knew exactly where they were. They'd stepped away from God. And since then, this same Jesus, who placed all of that magnificence into place, has been working to draw us back into the presence of God. And that's the part we play in this on Mission Sundays, but not on Mission Sundays. That's just a reminder of what we do all the time, to walk with Jesus in spreading his gospel where we live and around the world. Christ, Through Jesus, therefore, it says, Jesus who was there at the very beginning, Colossians 1 tells us, it was through Jesus everything that exists was brought into place. And it was through Jesus as he guided those who were his people during the Old Testament, continued to guide them and call them back to him. This Jesus who then hung on the cross and allowed God the Father to lay on him the wrath that he felt for the destruction of his creation. Justice was poured out on him. And today, he sits at the right hand of the Father, advocating for you and me. From the beginning to the end is Christ. And it's through him today that we give constant praise to God for what he has done. And what's the outward action of that? The outward action of that. Because James tells us that without works, faith is dead. So we come, we not only give praise, we not only pray for people like Melissa, but we give. And we seek ways to assist, to do, and to share. Because that is what he's called us to. This Jesus, who worked to bring all things into creation, still works in our heart to bring faith to those he wants to call back to him. Let me pray. Father, I thank you today. I thank you for all that you have done for us through Christ. I thank you for the beauty of your creation. I thank you for the continual desire to draw creation back to yourself and the way that you outwork that. I thank you for the way that you have called us into the ministry of drawing people back to you. I don't know why you want to use us, but you do, because we mess up a lot. I do pray today that you would continue to work through us and guide us and lead us, and that we will respond in a positive way. Because we want, we desire, and we long for your kingdom to grow in the most amazing way. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you'd like to talk to me about STEER, I'll hang around up the back, grab a bag, and you'll know more about it. Thank you.
Again, we read from Hebrews 13, verses 15. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. And thanks, Garth, for coming to share. Please take the opportunity. But also, as we have shared and as we, and there is our offering box at the back, we don't take up an offering. But also, you can support our missions through there as well. If you're putting it through the box, make sure it's put in on missions, and you actually can sort of give over line as well. And as we reflected upon, as we can help in small ways in your news sheet about the traumas in PNG at this time, just with the mudslide, if you'd like to give a gift towards that one, you can put it in our offering box, but just note it down for the PNG from the mudslides there.